Hey, Shauna, we are at it again with season 3.
Ready to explore the darkness.
And spreading the light.
For UFOs!
And Bigfoot.
And the rest of the bumpies in the night.
The bumpies? What is wrong with you?
Hey, that was last year's saying.
Dang, it still applies.
Oh, yes. We have amazing guests.
Be careful.
Yep, even the invisible ones.
And some kick-ass geek searches.
Conspiracy theories, random squirrel moments.
Ugh, like right now. Focus.
So come on and explore the paranormal.
With us, your hosts, Shauna.
And Victoria.
With Geeks Paranormal.
We cuss like sailors, and we have a lot of opinions.
A lot of opinions, and conspiracy theories.
And, you know, just general jackassery.
Just like anyone. But that doesn't mean that our opinions are the same as Para-X or any of its sponsors.
So why don't you just sit there and, you know, grab yourself some wine.
Or beer.
Yeah, you know, the yuck juice.
Oh, the yuck juice. Grab a good beer.
And a snack and tune in.
Because you're either going to love us or you're going to hate us. By the way, y'all are listening in and we thank you for it.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And now it's time for the show.
Explicit content may be heard throughout this podcast. Listening discretion is advised.
Hello, everybody. It's Shauna with Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal.
And this is Victoria, and we have an amazing guest today.
Yes,
we're so excited.
Yay! I'm so happy to see her again.
Yes, this is one of our favorite friends.
Angel.
Oh, there.
That was priceless.
So
I know.
Well, so I know what's going on the blooper reel.
Shut up.
How are you, honey?
I'm good.
That's awesome. Like, we're all fighting sickness. She's just mentally.
And sleep deprived.
Yes.
Deprived, but since we're talking about deprivation, we might as well throw that one in there.
Oh, Lord. This is going to be an explicit interview, guys.
I'm just going to start.
Remove the children.
Start out with the sex deprived. That's Victoria.
And call 1-800.
Oh my gosh.
Just kidding. That's not this kind of paranormal show.
Unless it was up to Vicky.
I still think Naked Paranormal would have a good rating.
Not with us. Probably to turn it off.
Oh, God. No.
No, we can't watch them. We'll pay them to turn it off.
What is this series? It's called
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid. Ours would be Naked and Now You're Afraid.
If you didn't believe in the paranormal. Guess what? You're going to with this show.
It'll be a supernatural experience.
You're gonna want to see those.
What's that clapping? Oh shit! That's my boobs. Damn. I meant to take those up.
Oh my goodness! You guys are killing me.
All right, just to get started. How have you been since Mid South? We got to see this beautiful lady at Mid South.
Yes, I missed doing the interview with you.
Yeah, that I was in so much pain that weekend. It was unreal. Conventions are hard on me, so I kind of took it easy this year, and I'm gonna hit them more next year. But just been crazy busy since that event. My publisher, you know, Eric, he's kind of filled my plate. Maybe. A little too much. I've been really busy with that, and just put out my 30th book, so I've just been really busy. I haven't really left the house.
So, oh my gosh.
30 books. Wow. So, I mean, you write both nonfiction and fiction books. Which ones do you prefer?
Oh, fiction. Oh, absolutely. Because with nonfiction, you have to constantly stop and compare notes and find, you know, I have journals in every room, and I'm not joking, there are journals in my bathroom. Because if I get an idea or something strikes me, I got to hurry up and write it down. So to be able to find notes, it takes me a while. With fiction, once I'm in that zone, there is no stopping. Like, I've literally sat and written for 18 hours in one book just because I get in that zone. And with fiction, especially with, you know, romance stories and erotica, when you get into a, like, a, especially a hot and heavy scene, or you're working up to one, you can't just break it off and take a break. It doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? It's like the thrill is gone.
That's really
the way it is, because so I just keep going. Because if you break off with fiction stories, you don't get back to that rhythm, to that zone. So I just keep going until it's done.
You know, I can all totally understand where you're coming from. My children, I'm in the middle of writing something now. I've been writing it for, God, 20 years, I think. But yeah, I paragraphed
it. Paragraph.
But it's, no, there's the other one, the 8-chapter one that I have so far. Not that one. That one took me 10 years into a paragraph. But I have my 5-year-old, Mom, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. He was putting his hand on her boot. What?
On her boots.
Yes. Her boots. It was her boots, honey. No, but if you get interrupted, yeah, that moment's gone.
That moment when you almost wrote an erotic story.
And it just came out PG-13.
Right. Yeah, my family knows if I'm working on fiction, leave me alone. If the house is on fire, or you're bleeding, or one of the animals is hurt, fine, cool, interrupt. But other than that, leave me alone. It's not going to end well with you if you mess my rhythm up.
When did you realize you wanted to be an author?
I guess when I was a teenager, I used to write a lot of little fantasy short stories. My upbringing, my childhood wasn't easy. We were very poor. So a lot of my stories back then were, you know, of fancy rich people and, you know, just taking on that persona because it was an escape for me. Right. But when I really decided that this is what I wanted to do, it was when my mom was passing away, actually. And her and I were talking and she said, you need to take all my journals and combine yours, and you need to make a book. You need to have your own reference book. So that's all it was started out to be, was one book for me to use as like a reference guide. And it was kind of like a, you know, all those memories of my mom's journals and her handwriting, and, you know, just to have all those was, you know, blessing to begin with. But her telling me, you need to go use my words and put with yours and create a book. So that's what I started to do. And then I had been friends with Michelle Bollinger, and I had asked her a question one day on her website, and her publisher saw my question to her. Next thing I know, I'm getting a message from Eric saying that he would like to take a look at my work. And I'm like, what? Now, mind you, I didn't know who he was. I just thought it was some idiot off the internet that was trying to get me, you know what I mean? So he sent me the message and I totally blew it off, didn't believe him. 2 weeks go by, I get another message from him. Hello, did you receive my last message? And I was like, I did, but I didn't take you seriously. And he says, well, why not? And I said, why would I, you know? He says, well, I would really love to take a look at your work. I said, well, I'm not done. But I said, right now it's like 997 pages. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah. He says, oh, no. He's like, so tell me what it's about. So I told him, and he's like, you have 3 books there. He says, I would love to publish your work. Didn't believe him. Still thought he was full of shit. So I didn't talk to him. I was like, whatever, you know. Another 2 weeks go by. I get another message from him. He says, so where are you at? And I said, with the books? And he said, yeah. I said, I don't know where I'm at. I was like, I'm closing on them being done, I guess. And, oh, well, great. Well, send it to me. Now, you're going to laugh your ass off because I know he did. This should tell you how I had no expectations of ever being published in my life. When he told me to send him my work, I shit you not, I had my boyfriend go out and buy a printer and ink and computer paper, and I was going to print out every last 1,002 pages and send it to Eric.
Oh, God. You went back in time to the 80s.
Well.
Girl, I had no clue. No, I was beyond clueless. So I said something to him, and he caught that I was saying something about a printer. And he says, no, 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 just send me the file through email. Oh. Okay. Awesome. So then I had to figure out how to organize it and get it to him through email and everything. And I felt like a complete moron because I was literally going to print out all those pages and mail to him. So that should tell you something.
Well, back before, I mean, in your defense, that's how they used to take them the time.
Yeah, when I was like 10, you know what I mean? But I didn't know that. I didn't know because I never even thought about being published. So why would I need that knowledge, you know?
Right.
So yeah, so that was my first like wow moment with Eric. But then when I did realize he was being serious and not full of shit, I did when he had to like walk me through it just like you girls had to tonight because I know nothing. So I had like 10 million questions for him. How do I do this? What do I do there? Who do I mean, it was insane. He probably answered about 10,000 questions before he actually got my first manuscript. But he was so patient and so loving and so kind and never made fun of me.
Oh, he is an amazing guy.
Completely in shock that I had no idea what I was doing. But he handled it like a professional. Right. So, it was awesome.
Well, he's my foster brother from another.
To me, he's my foster brother. But to me, he is so amazing in the fact, I mean, he's the first one out of anyone that we spoke to that really considers us celebrities.
It's weird.
And we don't even consider ourselves celebrities.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah, but he put on there on the Fright Fest, celebrity guest, Geeks Paranormal. I'm like,
I was like,
did you see that? I love this guy.
if he doesn't, could, I mean, I think he has, I'm like completely stuttering here. I think he has like great expectations for people. I think
he does.
Someone who sees the best in them and he pulls that out of them. And I love that.
Yep. Yes, and he doesn't view anybody beneath him. Everybody is equal to him, you know what I mean? And yeah, he's just an amazing person, and he's turned into family. Him and Star both they've come here, they spend days here with me, and we get scolded by Star because him and I just want to work, you know, and talk about work and make notes about work, and she threatens us all the time.
And then also, audience. So it was shown it was meant to be. Right. It was meant to be. You were meant to be published by him.
For our listening audience, we're talking about Eric Berner, who is also going to be the host of the Fright Fest in 2020, which we are going to be presented.
And 21, and 22, and 23.
Forever, until we all are dust, and we probably will still come back and do a Fright Fest.
Can you imagine us doing our skit when we're like 90?
Oh, awesome.
So we're going to be in costume, and we're going to be dancing, and being as goofy as our goofy little buddy can be.
But I told her, I said, oh, God, we're really going to do this?
Oh, fabulous.
It's already set now. She's already sent it to Eric.
Oh, yeah, I already did.
And I'm like,
here it goes, Eric. There it is.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Oh, gosh. You're going to be there, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
I hope so.
Back into the show.
Yes.
So Yeah, you're going to get to be at Fright Fest, which I'm so excited to see you there.
Yep. God, that's so long from now, though. We'll see you before then, probably, because I'm planning on us going to a couple of conventions next year.
We need to, get our wine drinking on, or Kool-Aid drinking, or whatever the hell you want to fancy a drinking.
I know Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
and
if it
beer,
doesn't taste
give me...
Kool-Aid, I can't drink it. I'm a wuss.
Well, y'all can do the Kool-Aid. I'll grab my beer.
Kool-Aid, give me some damn wine. What you doing?
There's some wine that tastes like Kool-Aid. Hey, there's some awesome drinks that taste like Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's the watermelon Jolly Rancher. That's so, pretty good.
Who is your favorite author? Who inspired?
Oh, J.R. Ward.
Really?
Oh, I love her. She paranormal romance. She has a series called the Black Dagger Brotherhood, and she's phenomenal. I mean, my style a little bit mimics her. I'm a little bit more raunchy with my writing.
We love raunchy.
We and love she's raunchy.
She's pretty naughty, but I mean, just the story itself is amazing. There's like 15 in the series so far. Mm-hmm. She's an amazing writer. I love her. And Nina Bangs is another one that I love. But out of all of them, J.R. Ward is my absolute favorite.
Hey, this is Sean Whalen. I've been a character actor for 30 years in things like Twister, Never Been Kissed, People Under the Stairs, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Friends, just to name a few. You are listening to Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal with hosts Victoria and Shauna on ParaX.com. Two very fun ladies. Fun facts, fun questions, a fun hour. Enjoy the show.
Oh, wow. I've never read her stuff, so I probably will. I've read a lot of Sherilyn Kenyon and Laurel K. Hamilton. And
yep.
All of them. I love her books. J.R. Ward,
man. Her characters, I literally fell in love with. They're just... Oh man.
Now I'm going to have to read. I'm going to have to get the audio. I hope they have audiobooks. I love the audiobooks. Especially when it's got a good voice actress.
I couldn't listen to audio with erotica. It would be too awkward for me.
You know like, what?
I could watch somebody had erotica. Suggested
that when I edit my books that I use that text to speech or speech to text.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tried it once. To listen to my own writing,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it. I was blushing up a storm, and I wrote the shit. I wrote the shit, and I'm blushing, and I'm like, I can't do this, you know? So yeah, I don't do that no more.
My husband was the same way. I was sitting there listening to a Laurel K. Hamilton book at work, and he was like, do you listen to it when it goes into the, like, yeah? He's like, how can you do that at work? Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing anything to myself. I'm just listening.
I mean, if you were, you had that whole desk right there. No one's gonna see anything.
No.
Just kidding.
But, oh my God, it's so funny because he'll sit there and listen to it. We go on long road trips. I'll play it in the van, and he'll sit there and go,
"Don't play that on the, in the van when we go to New
York." Are you listening to? And I'm like, my book? I mean, I can't read it while I'm driving.
Women in a vehicle driving to New Orleans do not need to hear that. We get there, and we're going to come out of the van like this.
We get there, her and Dave are going to come out of the van like that and run off, and I'm just going to be like,
yeah.
Guys.
Zombies.
Guys.
Like, it ain't brains we want, trust me.
Well, you write. You know, you love the paranormal.
Yeah.
You're very much into the paranormal. And you've been a paranormal investigator for how long?
Oh, wow. My mother took me on my first investigation when I was 10.
Oh, wow.
And having said that, I am a firm believer that that's not something for kids.
Okay.
Yes, my mother, exactly. You know, she had been in it all her life. She knew that she could protect me. She taught me how to protect myself very early on. I don't think children, my daughter's 17 and she's never been on a hunt with me.
Yeah, that's my kids too.
And she knows. I mean, she knows that there's danger. She knows how to protect herself, but I just can't promote taking a child on an investigation. I can't.
It's too dangerous.
You don't know what you're going to run into. And an adult is going to have a different interaction than a child is. I mean, yes, that's just common sense, you know? But yeah, when I was 10, she took me on my first one. And it was to help a family in town. They were experiencing a lot of negativity and nothing dangerous, just kind of like a trickster almost. Mm-hmm. But that was my first case with my mom, and she just had taught me everything from that moment on. So
Literally,
I've gotten since the age of 30, I've gotten over 120 different locations, not investigations, but locations that I've been to.
Wow.
So yeah.
Goodness.
In your book, which I have here, Conversations with the Dead, you speak of the difference between a paranormal investigation and being a ghost hunter.
Right.
Would you elaborate for our listening audience?
For the video audience, you'll see her book cover.
That particular mention is more or less what is commonly known around the paranormal community. Me personally, I don't think there's too much of a difference other than, you know, when you go hunting something, you don't know what's there. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're in store for. That to me is hunting. When you're investigating, you already know the source of what's there. You know, kind of know what to expect. You know, usually a popular haunted location. Those are investigations to me. Because you have something to go on, you have questions, you know what I mean? But hunting is, you know, that would be like going into an abandoned building that nobody's ever been into and looking for ghosts, you know, trying to find communication. That to me is hunting. So that was the difference.
I loved her explanation. I wanted to share it because I loved it because
Did I answer wrong? But saying no,
it's just silence. We heard crickets.
No, I mean, it's just because, you know, a lot of people call themselves ghost hunters. And yes. A lot of people call each other
investigators,
paranormal investigators. And There has been like a, you know, silent little, it's almost like they want to say it's a different kind of gang. And it's like,
right.
So I loved your explanation when I read it. And I was like, oh, that is such a cool explanation.
Yes, it is.
But no, what I was trying to say is that I love how you explain it because people are like, I've actually heard many times, well, I'm not going to be a ghost hunter or I'm not a paranormal investigator. And it's like, they act like it's, you know, Crypt versus Bloods, you know, almost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like the way people that you explained it.
We're all the same. I prefer being called an investigator only because that's the 99% of what we do when we go to a place is we're investigating.
Right.
But we hunt ghosts too. I mean, everybody hunts ghosts that are in the paranormal field, whether you're in an investigation or at an abandoned location, like you said. And I think everybody's going to take it. I mean, this is what the field is. Everybody's going to have their own opinion on everything and everybody's going to learn something new all the time.
Right. Well, you know, there's always those ones that think that they're experts.
I will never call myself an expert.
I know some people that have been in paranormal field like 40, 50 years, and they're still like, don't know everything.
I don't think we're ever going to learn everything. It's just impossible.
Not in this lifetime. You
know? Not in this field. Yeah. No, not in this field.
I think there's always going to be something like, oh, that makes sense.
I have the knowledge of the paranormal.
What was your funniest ghost encounter story you've ever had? We like funny, so.
She's got to go through all those 130 plus locations.
Well, I mean, just to be completely honest, like, I can't really think of too many funny ones because I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I'm a bitch when it comes to investigating. I'm very, you know, professional. I don't like pranks, anything like that. Like, I'm there to do a job. I'm there for spirits. I'm not there to have fun kind of person. I can have fun before and after, but if we're in the middle of a session, I ask the people that are working with me to stay professional until we're done, you know. Then we can go and get into shenanigans and run amok. But I guess the funniest one would be I was at Hillview Manor in Newcastle, PA, and I was with one team that I work with all the time now, and they took me there for my first time. They really didn't know me too well, and their big thing is to scare the newbies.
Oh, no.
They got a harsh lesson in I don't scare like that at all. Like, I'm walking down a dark hallway. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. They were waiting to in an adjacent hallway, waiting for me to come down there so they could jump out and scare me. They jumped out, but they didn't scare me. All I did was turn and looked at them like, what the hell are you doing? They were so irritated that I didn't jump, flinch, scream, run away, nothing like they've ever had before. They were completely disappointed. I've been seeing things since I was 8. Like, nothing scares me. I mean, but if somebody were to, like, come up behind me and try and scare me like that, they're going to get hurt. There's no doubt in my mind. People know me that work with me, know me well enough. I will hurt you. I'm a part of the spirits here that are inhabiting this place because I won't, don't do that to me. But, yeah, I mean, there really hasn't been too many funny incidences that I can think of. Not funny, like, haha, you know. They've been pretty serious. But, well, you know what? No, I lied. I just thought of something. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know how I blocked this out. We went in April. We went to Middle Point High School. Mm-hmm. And it's in Middle Point, Ohio. And one of my teammates has this thing called Mr. Giggles, and it's his puppy that's motion censored. And, you know, if you come near it, it flops around and it barks and laughs. It's a creepy ass laugh, right? One of the ladies that was with me that night is an ex-cop. She's super reserved, super conservative. She's a cop, right? She's standing up on stage, and out of nowhere, this dog goes off. The woman left the floor. Her feet were in the air. She could not move her body quick enough. She laughed so hard. I'm not kidding you. One of the ladies that was down further in the stage area looking up at this scenario happening, she pees herself.
Oh, no!
Herself from laughing. And nobody expected this woman to pee off like she did. And it was freaking hilarious. So yeah, I do have a funny one. That was... Every time we get together, we talk about that. So now she threatens to shoot Giggles if we bring him with us. So yeah, we don't take Giggles around here. We want to keep him around.
That's so funny. Have you ever dealt with a funny entity? I have a funny entity story. So have you ever had a funny entity? Or sarcastic?
Not. I don't know if I would consider it funny. But I had. I don't know why they had a fascination with my hair at Licking County Jail. And every time I would be in the basement, somebody would pull on the top of it, but it wasn't like just a tug. Like, it was a straight up pull, not trying to hurt me. I don't think it was just trying to get my attention. But after the third time, I walked in there, put a baseball cap on, like, ha ha ha, I beat you. You know, you're not gonna get my hair this time. Don't you know I walked in and there's this pipe in front of me and I could hear somebody in the corner giggle. It was a spirit. Totally giggled right before I ran into that pipe with my hat, and the hat goes flying off. So later that night, my girlfriend Heather that was with, no, it wasn't Heather. I can't remember who was with me, but somebody had the EVP recorder going down there and caught that giggle right before I ran into that pipe.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. He was a jokester. Yep. Yeah, I've ran into a couple smart asses. Yep, yeah. Definitely.
Sweet Amityville, Phil. These are trying times for the supernatural and paranormal. So many TV shows and podcasts. In time like these, we need more horror hosts like Shauna and Vicky on Geeks Paranormal on Parax Radio on Wednesday nights.
Gosh, Fox, you are so right. I love those geeks, Shauna and Vicky. Does geek stand for something?
You know it, my creepy companion. Geek stands for General Ectoplasm Exposition Knowledge Society.
Wow. Do they speak to inspirational ghosts and give information on hauntings around the world?
Do demons vomit pea soup? That's Vicky and Shauna. They are the go-to ladies of the paranormal. I'd trust them to investigate anything.
Oh, I know. Why, if we were abducted by UFOs and taken into space for probing, I want Shauna and Vicky to save us from some X-Files action.
Some extraordinary X-Files action. And if Bigfoot abducted us, stole us away to some remote Yeti cave, and forced us into making venison and pine needles ectoplasm pie with a dash of banshee wailing, I'd want Shauna and Vicky to give us the recipe for some good old ectoplasm pie.
Now, that would be some peppery paranormal pie.
Yum.
And if we were possessed by a horde of hell demons, guess who I'd want exorcising the spirits?
Shauna and Vicky, am I right?
Damn Skippy, Foxy lad.
Listen to those wonderful hosts of The Paranormal on Parex Radio at 9 p.m. on Parex Radio, exploring the paranormal with the geeks.
We're Phil and Fox on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror and Paranormal Show on Parex Radio on Friday nights at 9 p.m.
Your source for everything paranormal. Parex.
Yeah, I think we underestimate them sometimes, which is... You know, what I bring up to people with taking kids into places, you know.
Yeah.
99.9% of them, you know, even the ones that they consider negative, I think are just territorial and pissed off. I don't classify them as demonic or negative or anything like that. They're just pissed off. But we underestimate them. I know I have. We were doing a phasma box. Do you know what that is?
Is it kind of like the paddle box?
Yeah, it works like that.
Okay.
And we had it at the Hotel Conneaut, and it's 5:30 in the morning. We had been in there since like 7 at night conducting, you know, just communication with them. I have a connection to this place, so that's why it's always active when I'm there. But we're sitting there. It's 5:30 in the morning. There's three of us left. And I say to the spirits, okay, guys, I got to get to bed because we had a convention that morning. I said, I got to get to bed. Do you have any other messages for me or anybody here? You know, somebody came through and said, it was two different voices, but it was a complete sentence. No, stay the whole day and investigate.
Now, wow.
Mind you, I didn't think much of it because I knew I was going to be there the whole day anyway. I was like, oh, that's easy to do. I'll be here. Mm-hmm. I went into my room, went to bed. Got up 4 hours later for the convention, and I could not get out of my room. I was locked in from the inside. I shit you not. This is confirmed by the woman that runs the hotel. I had to call her on my cell phone and have her come down and try and get me out. I was locked in from the inside.
Wow.
I'm not joking. When they said no, stay the whole day.
They wanted you to stay.
They locked me in. They've never had that happen there. Now, this is an old, you know, built in 1923. It still has the old keys, cords, you know, the actual keys that you put in the lock.
Yeah.
She's standing on the other side, and I can hear her, holy shit, Angel. And I'm like, what? She's like, the turnstile, the turn key, the locket is turning. I was like, well, is the key in it? She's like, no, I haven't even put the key in it yet. So something was turning it while she was standing on the other side. And she said, all right, people, she's like, you got to let Angel out of her room. She has a lecture to do. She's not leaving you. She'll be here, you know?
Wow. Said,
please let her out. She put the key in twice. It didn't work. She put her hand on the door and I could hear her talking. And she said, please let Angel out. We don't want her to be scared. I wasn't scared, but she was trying to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And she put her key in the third time and they let her open it for me and get me out of there.
Wow.
Yeah, room 84. It's the room I always stay in when I'm at this hotel. Never had a problem with that, but they literally locked me inside.
Wow. Yeah, I want to go to this hotel.
I know, right?
Hotel Conneaut. Yeah. It's my hotel. I love that place. And we're doing an event there in November. So we'll be investigating. So I'm hoping they don't lock me in again.
They do record it. Record it.
I know, right?
Record the door.
Right. Wow. Yep. That's what we were so mad about. Like, neither one of us were thinking. I had my cell phone because I had to call her to come get me. But in the excitement of it all, it was like, holy shit, they locked me in my room. I wasn't thinking. She wasn't thinking. We should have videotaped that shit, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. Man.
I mean, yeah, you were probably just like, hey, let me out of here.
No, that's what I would have done. It's like whenever we were driving down the street to go to what we call Crybaby Bridge here, and I saw my first apparition run in front of the van. I'm like, any other time I would have had like a video camera on somewhere, but this one time, because I wasn't even sure I saw what I saw until I kind of looked over to the person that was sitting next to me. He goes, you saw that too, didn't you? And I went, did you just see what I saw? Oh, well, my God.
Somebody else saw it, so you know you're not crazy.
Yes. But that's what I thought I was. I was crazy at first, and I kind of looked at him. He kind of looked at me. I was like, did you see that too? Yeah, I did. That was awesome. But back on track, was there ever anything that was too much to handle on any one investigation?
No.
No?
Nope.
Didn't sound like it from exactly what you were talking about.
My mom was awesome.
She knew you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom was amazing, and she taught me, you know, everything that I needed to know. So, no.
Well, I mean, what do you do to protect yourself before or after and after an investigation?
I have a little mantra that I say that I don't share with other people or anything. It's just my own little thing that she taught me. And I always have crystals with me. And I just, I know that I have, you know, the angels. I know I have the goddesses. I know that I have protection. So just, you know, walking into a place knowing that you are in control, that's the biggest thing right there. If you go in there with that fear factor or provoking or, you know, anything like that, you're setting yourself up. But I go in there with confidence knowing that I'm protected by the, you know, by the white light, and they know that I'm there to help them. Mm-hmm. So
that's awesome. So what does it mean to be a spiritualist?
To me, it means just pretty much, which I encourage people to follow your own path. Everybody, you know, we were born with free will, and not enough people utilize that gift. You know, I've always encouraged people to follow your own path. So to me, a spiritualist path is their very own. Mm-hmm. It's not one path. It's, you know, not one religion. A spiritualist tends not to be involved with organized religion either. Mm-hmm. It's freedom. It's freedom to be you, to believe in what you want to believe in. And that to me, working with, you know, nature-based religions or beliefs, that to me is a spiritualist.
So saying nature-based, does that mean you deal with like the fire, air, earth?
The four elements.
Kind of thing, the four elements, okay.
Yep.
So kind of like the Wiccan beliefs or?
Pagan.
Pagan,
or, Wiccan, yeah.
I love the nature-based beliefs and stuff. I do. I've always done the candles, the lights, the nature.
So what's something you're passionate about besides writing? And the paranormal.
Sports.
Ah!
I have a serious problem. I am an addict. It is horrible. Football, that's my weakness.
College or NFL?
Both.
Oh, who's your favorite college team?
I Oklahoma. Oh, I like three teams. I like Oklahoma. I like Alabama and Penn State.
Roll Tide all the way. Yeah. All the way.
Yep.
Big Roll Tide fan. Was kind of disappointed in Hurts, but understood where he was coming from.
Yep. He's doing so good at Oklahoma.
Oh, I know. Yep. I know. I'm kind of scared for us to even play them this year.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Sorry. Go off into sports. I could go into sports.
No, it's just the fact that you just said us going to play them, and you're in Oklahoma.
I'm not an Oklahoman. I'm an Alabamian.
Like, when you say us, you're thinking Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I live in Oklahoma.
Yeah, no, I don't really even have time for sports. Mm.
Yeah, I pretty much, when football's on, that's when I take my breaks.
Yeah.
Okay, for that, I wouldn't take breaks at all. I get yelled at for not taking breaks, but football's about the only thing. Not even, like, I'm not into the paranormal shows. I get irritated with them, and I end up, like, threatening them and wanting to pull their asses because most of them really have no clue what they're doing. They no clue. So I don't watch too many paranormal shows. So.
That's funny.
Well, I can see now, if we ever get a paranormal show, I'd be like, girls.
No, I hope that girls. You get one, that you watch it.
This is not how, let me, we're going to do this. Come on. No, just get over here.
No, you just got to watch us and love us. Because we're just going to be silly and stupid
the
whole time.
Yeah, we are silly and stupid. We do take the paranormal seriously when we're doing investigations. But yeah. I also... I'm a goofball, so
we're
I don't do the scare jump thing while we're doing investigations. No, when we're doing investigations, it's investigation time.
Right, right.
But there have been times that I've gone somewhere and I've almost fell on my ass or done something and I've laughed it up and continued tripping down the way. Or
yeah, we can be accidentally funny.
Yeah.
When we're trying to be serious, we become accidentally funny.
Yeah. Or we're dead serious and people still think we're funny.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess that's just like in our DNA, we're just going to be funny all the time.
Comedians by default. Yeah. We weren't even trying to make you laugh.
I was just talking.
Why are you laughing? So mean.
How rude.
Anyway, so I kind of blanked there for a minute. So, I mean, okay, change the subject all the way around. If okay. You had a superpower, what would it be?
If I had a superpower.
And why?
And why?
To protect all the animals on the earth.
Aww.
We just did that.
That would be what I would want to do. They're defenseless. You know what I mean? They're not humans that can make choices. Their choices are survival.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And yeah, I would protect the animals. That would be my thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So my question of what charity would you stand behind? I think I already got that answer.
All animal charity.
Yeah, actually, we were just talking about that because the one convention that we're putting on in 2021, it's actually my baby. It's called Erotic Con, and it's going to be so much fun. Oh, yeah. It's,
I'm going to come dressed as a condom.
Oh.
We're going to have belly dancers. We're going to have strippers. We're going to have drag queens. I mean,
I'm there.
If you guys could make it, you so have to come. You'd have so much fun.
Oh, we would totally. We couldn't miss one of your conventions.
We would so go. If you don't mind me dressed as a condom, hey, you know, whatever.
No, it's literally going to be one of those events. Just come to have fun.
Mm.
Come to have fun. That's all it's about. No. That's so you want to come dressed as a condom, you do it, baby.
You know those women that were dressed as vaginas out in the street and their heads were the clitorises, and it's like I understand where you're coming from with that, but did you have to dress?
Okay,
no.
Oh my goodness.
No, I don't think I can do that. No. Nope.
Walk around looking like no.
No.
I couldn't do that.
No, and have that plastered all over the internet? No.
Like,
no.
There's the geek girls. Oh, Lord.
I could dress as anything. I would dress as a penis, but I will not dress as a vagina. Well,
if you're the penis, I'm the condom.
Oh, see, that's perfect. Perfect.
You know, what's funny about this whole situation is in my head. I just saw online Wish had a penis mask for sale for $1, and it was just the head of the penis. And I'm
my gosh.
And it's like, comes in all available colors. I'm like, all available colors? Really?
I want a green penis.
And the slits for the eyes are like right in the crevice where it kind of veers off. It's like, oh my God.
Wait, really that thing is supposed to be called the dickhead.
This interview went south fast.
I blame Angel.
This is Martin from Attrition, and you're listening to Explore the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal hosts Shauna and Victoria on ParaX.com.
Illuminating the paranormal. Opening your mind to the possibility. We'll talk about all things metaphysical, paranormal, and everything in between. Illuminating the Paranormal, Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on ParaX.
Just in time for Halloween, explore the second edition of the Witch's Oracle deck through 45 innovative cards and enhanced guidebook that peers into the world of the witch. The deck's stunning artwork has a new look and includes 7 brand new inspirational cards. Each card now includes a suggested crystal or gemstone to enhance your reading, as well as a magical incantation that provides energy, reinforces the card's meaning, and helps the desired message to be sent out into the universe. The easy-to-navigate guide also has a new look and offers straightforward, gentle guidance that takes readers through both good times and bad. And now includes a chapter on crystal and gemstone divination by the amazing Nicholas Pearson. The Witch's Oracle. It is a perfect divination deck for witches as well as non-pagans, and is designed to suit both seasoned readers and beginners alike. Find out more about the Witch's Oracle deck at www.marlabrooks.com, and you can purchase the deck from schifferbooks.com, amazon.com, or order a copy from your favorite bookseller.
Your source for everything paranormal, ParaX.
Oh my goodness. So while you were trying to, we're going to go kind of back on topic of the other topic. What obstacles did you have to go through to pretty much achieve the goals that you're at now? And are you still striving?
You mean with my writing?
Yes.
Besides not being able to print 1,000 page.
Yeah.
Or listen to erotic.
The only obstacle is buying my own books. Oh. You know what I mean? When you write your, you know, when you write books, you don't get them for free. Mm-mm. You have to order them to be able to sell them at conventions, and they're not cheap. They're really not. So that's mainly been my biggest obstacle with it. Mm-hmm. Everything else has been smooth sailing. I mean, the books themselves, you know, a couple of them are bestsellers. The one that you have, Victoria, the Conversations with the Dead, that made the...
this one, that's not yeah, it. She was going back to erotica, I mean. Well, she just can't get rid of that one.
You can't get me out of the penis land for long. This one.
But yes, that one made the bestsellers list after 3 weeks of being out.
Nice.
This is a great book.
So I decided to make that a series, and there's a second one that goes with that.
Which I'll be
some of the same locations from that, but a lot of new ones too. So, but now I really, I mean, holy crap, it's been a blessing. I mean, it hasn't been any troubles. I mean, I don't know how I got so lucky with all this. The year that I met Eric, I had just turned 40. I just lost my mom, and my eldest turned 18 and went off to college. And I suddenly had a life. I mean, I don't say that in a narcissistic way, but you know, I took care of my mom for the last 15 years of her life. I was raising 2 kids and was with an abusive alcoholic So, you know, up until I was 40, I didn't really have a life, and I was pretty much felt worthless, and I had, there was no reason to have any ambitions and things like that. And then I turned 40 and I lose her and my son moves out, and then I meet Eric, and then holy shit, 2 months later, I'm a published author, and I'm like, what just happened? This, no, wait. Like, wow. Okay. So this is the direction my life's going. All right, let's do it, you know, and I haven't stopped since. I mean, it's just been going, going, going. So, but I was with her up until the end. I mean, they wouldn't let me stay when they knew it was going to get to the point, because her throat had swollen up and she get to the point she couldn't breathe anymore. They didn't want me to witness. I had witnessed enough, and they didn't want me to hear that. So they made me leave. But I was with her all the way up until that point. And it was harsh. It was the only parent I ever had. Didn't know my dad. So she was everything.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was harsh. But, you know, her passing and one of the last conversations I had with her was writing that book.
Oh.
You know.
So I can see why it'd be so important.
She couldn't talk anymore. So that literally was one of the last conversations we had. And it's, if she would have never started that conversation, I wouldn't be where I am right now with writing books. So yay to mom.
Yay!
Right? So there's like a legacy. She just, she gave you the time and said, hey, live your life.
Yeah.
It's time for you to live.
Yeah.
So that's actually very touching and sweet. God is in the waiting. This is a great book. Y'all need to come out and get it.
Come out and get it. Y'all need to come out into this metaphorical land of internet.
Yeah, you need to come out to the land of internet and order this book, because it is actually a great book. And it's not hard reading. So if you're one of those people who are like, I don't like, it's easy reading, and it's a great book. And I could see this being like a series.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm, once I get all of them done and out, that's my next goal, is to send the manuscripts to like Hallmark and Lifetime, and you know, when they put those cheesy movies on, you know.
I'm not sure that this is a Hallmark movie. Well,
I was just gonna say that they might have to soften the sex scenes.
If you put it on Netflix, you might not have to.
Unless I misunderstood what you are writing here, I'm pretty sure this is not Hallmark stuff.
No. I'm pretty sure Amazon has some leeway somewhere.
Stuff, but. There's a few that aren't as erotic. They're more romance, you know, because I tried both. And I'm like, at first, writing erotica was really, really hard. And you're gonna laugh, but it's okay, you can laugh with me. I don't say the F word, okay? And I don't say the word because my mother was, you could say anything just about in her household, but if you cussed and used that word, there was hell to pay. So I watched my brother get backhand once when he said it, and it was just something you didn't do in my house. So to this day, I won't say the word. I don't know if I worry that my mother's going to come out from the grave and beat my ass. I don't know. But I still, it just doesn't sound comfortable to me to say it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if other people say it. It's hard for me. Mm-hmm. Writing erotica, however. that word kind of comes up. And the first time I had to write it, I shit you not, my boyfriend sat here and laughed at me for 15 minutes. Because I kept saying to him, like, there's got to be another word. What other word can I use for this? The sentence. And he's like, babe, just write it. You're not saying it, just write it. And I was like, but it's so hard. I really had a problem with typing the word out. Because if you see any of my posts and I imply that word is there, it's always the F and then like the percentage sign and the,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't spell the word out on the internet at all. Only in my book.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
Only in your books. We dropped that bomb.
Yeah.
Often.
We're so sorry. You probably like every time
you're cringe.
It doesn't bother me to hear it. It doesn't bother me that other people say it. It's just one of them, you know, your parents teach you something and it just kind of sticks. That's one of the things that stuck. Like, I just can't say it. So
yeah, I try not to say it around my mama either.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm funny about the GD. I can't say GD.
Oh yeah, and I try to curb the GD around her. Yeah, it's hard.
You know, and I believe in the Bible, so you know, everybody can believe what they want, but I believe in the Bible, and the one thing that God said not to do was to say His name in vain. So I will cuss up a storm, but I try not to say that. I'm not going to say that I've never said it.
Yeah. It's one of them things you weren't allowed to say and shouldn't say, and I don't, but yeah, writing it for the first time was a little hard, so.
I'm pretty sure there are some people out there, no, if I could have done it all over again. Well, yeah, but you know, people are going to have their own things, but if she would have not gone through what she went through, she probably wouldn't be sitting here with me right now, or we wouldn't probably have this and be talking to the beautiful person that you are. And
which, by the way, if y'all seen her, she's absolutely stunning. You got to check out the video. This woman is beautiful.
Yes, and the video will be up in next season, which will be the beginning of next year.
On Asai Paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys got to check that out if you haven't yet. We are there. Our first season's up, and it's only $2.99 a month, y'all.
Yeah,
you can pick that up on the street,
or in your couch cushions, or pockets. But honey, go ahead and plug your stuff. Plug where they can find you, where they can buy your books.
You can get all my books on Amazon. I write with two different pen names. My nonfiction is Angel Ray, R-A-E, and my fiction is Angelica Knight, N-I-G-H-T. You can get them all on Amazon, though. You can contact me on Facebook at Angel Ray 11, the numbers, 1-1. On Twitter, you can reach me at Angel Ray 73. And as far as events, I have November 10th and 11th, I'll be at the Hotel Conneaut in Conneaut Lake, Pennsylvania. And then I don't have anything else. After that, I am hibernating. I'm going to be in my fuzzy jammies and my slippers and my blankie, and I'm going to work all winter. I don't do cold. I'm a wuss. I was born in July in Florida. So I'm not meant for this shit. I don't know why I still live in Pennsylvania, but yeah, hopefully that's going to change in a couple years. You can catch me at that event. And then next year I'll be at Fright Fest.
Yay!
Once I get the rest of my schedule put together, I'll put it out on my Facebook author's page, and you can come see me at any of the events.
Awesome. Honey, thank you so much for being with us.
We appreciate all your time. And we love your books. But as soon as I can, I want to try to get a couple more of your books.
Yes. I'm going to get a couple of more too. But thank you so much for being on.
We love you.
Hope to see you very, very soon.
Yeah, we need to have a girls' night.
Yes.
Oh my God, yes, we'd have so much fun. We'd probably need bail money, but we'd have fun.
we'll have to save in advance.
we'll have Eric set up, you know, just be on call, Eric.
Yeah, there you go. He would too. That awesome.
He's amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on our show. You have yourself a good night, okay?
You too, girls. Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. Oh no, Victoria's finally been abducted by aliens.
Holy bejeebus.
If you'd like to help me in trying to get her back.
Trying to help me? Help me! I thought I was gonna like this, but I'm not so sure. I mean, they live up to the height.
Did you say they're not tall?
I said height! Height, Donna, so get me out of here!
Oh!
Ransom!
Hi, okay. Hell, y'all can go to anchor.fm/geeksparanormal and get a monthly subscription.
Anyone stuck yet?
Victoria, this isn't BDSM. No, they haven't. Geeks, we gotta get it out there first.
Get it out there? No, I need you to save me first.
So go to anchor.fm/geeks-paranormal to get a monthly subscription.
Hey, what you doing? Hey, don't you put that. You're gonna put that where?
Will you hang said.
Get me out of here, Shauna. Help me.
To go. I am your friend. You hush your mouth up there. So go on and support so we can get Victoria out of that darn ship. Now go on. Shoo.
Are they there yet?
Oh, just be.
Help me.
Victoria, I told you you weren't going to like it.
Oh, just be quiet and get me out of here. Bigfoot?
What?
They have Bigfoots in here. Daryl. Oh, he said his name is Daryl.